I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Oh God, we long to feel you close as we listen now for your word in the midst of my words. Open our hearts and our minds, along with our ears and our eyes, that we might hear and see and understand your truth for us. Amen. Life is often a strange and perplexing mixture of things, a reality I sought to capture in today's sermon title, Stones, Ladders, and Unlikely Blessings. Once again, today we will focus on Jacob, the twin brother of Esau, son of Isaac and Rebekah, grandson of Abraham and Sarah. Once again, we will be reminded of God's ability to transform lives and experiences. We will see God doing what God does best, and that is refusing to give up on even the most challenging of people and bestowing blessing even on those who appear to us to be incorrigible and undeserving. Case in point, Jacob. You may remember that when we encountered Jacob last week, he was up to no good, taking advantage of his brother Esau's hunger and demanding Esau give him his birthright before agreeing to give him some lentil stew in exchange. As we encounter Jacob today, he is running, fleeing from Esau's threats. This flawed patriarch of Israel would spend much of his life on the run, 20 years to be exact, before finally returning home again. In addition to fleeing from his brother Esau, Jacob was on a mission commissioned by his mother Rebekah, who was persuaded he needed to find a suitable wife. Totally alone, homeless, fleeing from a brother he feared toward a future frightening and uncertain, we encounter Jacob, exhausted. Some have described him as an unperson in an unplace, unmoored, desperate, in a limbo of his own making, which makes it kind of hard to feel sorry for him. And it just so happens that as he pauses to rest his exhausted body, he stops to do so at the very spot where his grandfather Abraham, upon reaching the promised land, had built an altar to God. He chose a stone for his pillow. Not the smartest choice, in my humble opinion, but then I'm guessing the pickings were slim there in the wilderness, so he went with what he could find. As he laid on that stone, he dreamed. And in the midst of that dream, there were ladders. Now, of course, ladders conjure up all sorts of images in our minds. We talk about climbing the corporate ladder, climbing the ladder to success. Some people are deathly afraid of climbing ladders. But in this case, the bright long rungs of the ladder belong to God, a ladder that touches down in our ordinary world, in the midst of our ordinary lives. In the midst of the dream, God reminds Jacob of what God has reminded him of before, that he is going to be the recipient of land and numerous progeny. Now, this promise had been made multiple times, but we have the feeling that this time, Jacob finally hears God, and it sinks in. God promises to bless him by saying, "Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth." Something we don't always notice when we read this passage of Scripture, because it doesn't come through in the English translation, is that four times Jacob's dream is punctuated by the word, "Behold." Behold a ladder. Behold, angels of God. Behold, the Lord stood beside him. Behold, know that I am with you. That word behold invites us to take notice, pay attention, grab a hold of something and hold on to it. And the words that are after behold, know that I am with you, reminds us that God is with tricksters, deceivers, and flawed human beings like Jacob, just as much as God is with the righteous. Jacob, in the midst of all of this, was afraid, and with good reason. He didn't know what to think, and he exclaimed, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." How many times could we have each said the very same thing? We have missed the Lord right where we are because we weren't paying attention. The Lord has been right under our noses, as close as our breathing. I think often of what my dad used to say when we would miss something right in front of us. He would proclaim, "If it had been an alligator, it would have bitten you." Yes, if the Lord were an alligator, the Lord would have bitten us more than once, for sure. In this instance, Jacob clearly has an aha moment, a conversion experience of sorts. He is forever changed. Now, that doesn't mean he suddenly abandons his crafty ways or all of his old habits. He is not an entirely new person, but neither is he the same old Jacob. He is so struck by what he experiences that, as Pastor Addie shared with us, he took the stone that he had been using for his pillow and he created an altar. He called the place Bethel, which means house of God, a thin place where God comes close. And of course, my favorite line from today's lesson, when Jacob proclaims, "How awesome is this place!" He repurposes the stone and turns the pillow into an altar, pours oil on it, and declares it sacred. The importance of place, sacred place in particular, must not be overlooked. Now, of course, we know that God is bigger than any place where we might mark, bigger than any building we might construct in God's honor. But still, the place, the building, matters. Because let's face it, we are shaped by places, for better or for worse. We have been shaped by the homes where we grew up, by the schools we attended, by the churches where milestones in our lives were marked. In recent days, we have had to find God in places other than the usual ones, ones we are accustomed to. God is indeed in our world in a profound way and in sacred ways. And so often, like Jacob, we just do not know it. God is in our Zoom meetings, in our gatherings on Wednesdays at noon as folks mill about the labyrinth, listen to familiar hymns played on the chimes, and talk with church friends. God is with us when we don our masks and run errands around town, when we gather with family and friends safely distanced from one another in backyards, on porches and decks, outside the windows of loved ones in long-term care facilities. God is with us, but we must pay attention. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, "Only that day dawns to which we are awake." If ever there were a time to be awake, it is now. For God, who shows up in usual places, also shows up in places of tension, in places of uncertainty, at gravesides, as small groups of people masked and distanced struggle to bring closure to the passing of a loved one. In hospital rooms, as patients unable to have visitors deal with their illnesses alone. At infusion centers, where people tethered to IV poles getting cancer treatment sit alone because because visitors are not allowed during the pandemic. God shows up in homes that are places of safe refuge and in homes that are not. Once we begin to recognize this, once we begin to understand that God is with us everywhere, we can stop being afraid and start looking toward the future and all the amazing things God is calling us to do. Something else I notice in the story of Jacob and his dream. In order for Jacob to receive the blessing God had waiting for him, Jacob had to leave home. He had to leave the comfort of the familiar, even if it was steeped in dysfunction. And he learned that in the wilderness, he did not need to go it alone. God was with him. God is with us. In the wilderness, in the dark, in this pandemic, when we simply cannot take another step or face another day, our God transforms pillow stones into markers of milestones. Our God transforms hardened hearts into soft places where love can blossom and hope be renewed. When we do finally gather again to worship within the four walls of St. John's, it will, I guarantee you, look and feel decidedly different than it did when we were last together in early March, before the pandemic forced us to stay at home in order to stay safe. But what will be exactly the same, and herein lies our comfort, is the presence of God. God among us, God between us, God around us. God will, as always, show up. And God will not observe social distancing. Thankfully, God doesn't need to. God will come close and hold us, just as God has been doing forever, just as God has been doing throughout these stressful and anxiety-filled times. My fervent prayer is that we will not miss God, but like Jacob, respond, "How awesome is this place?" And our gratitude will spill over wherever we go. Amen.